Morning Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Morena, Kirsten, how are you?
I'm good, but chilly, but you know.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, it's still a little bit crispy in the mornings, but it's meant to be nice this weekend, so we'll look forward to that.
Oh, okay.
Hey, we've got a very interesting sounding genre today. Can you tell us what we're talking about?
Okay, so we're talking about space age bachelor pad music.
Ooh, la.
And so you have to imagine yourself as a swinging guy in the late 50s, early 60s, and you just want to live the high life in your cool mod apartment.
Nice.
And pick up chicks, and you've got the latest thing called a stereo hi-fi. And you can impress the ladies with these sophisticated swinging music.
Ooh.
So they're usually instrumental, not always, and it sort of took this sort of big band music of the 30s and 40s and sort of, you know, injected it with sort of exotica and to try to sound futuristic. So if you can picture that time, you know, that's when a lot of technology was starting to pick up.
Yep.
They were putting people on the moon, and there was this obsession with space and the future. Obviously, they were a little bit off base in their imaginings of the future. I always think of that old cartoon, The Jetsons.
I was just thinking of The Jetsons, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you have your penthouse apartment, and you're just so futuristic and cool, baby. Yeah. In fact, actually, Austin Powers is iconic, sort of representing that. And, you know, even some of the music that was used in that film is that kind of
space age
quirky orchestral music. So, you know, all you hetero dudes that, you know, want to pick up chicks this weekend, you can get into this. So we're going to be talking about two different periods today, which is kind of weird. So 1954 to 1964 was its main original period. And this music did make the charts, even though it was kind of orchestral.
That's interesting. I'm going to hit the first one while we're talking.
Yep.
Oh, here we go. Ooh la la. Who are we listening to here, Kirsten?
So this is Esquivel. That's what he's called, but his name is Juan García Esquivel. And the weird thing is, so he was, you know, he's a Mexican guy, and he was a big orchestra band leader in this period, but he got rediscovered in the 90s. They released a couple CDs of his. One of them was called Space Age Bachelor Pad Music, which is where the name came from, because it wasn't called that originally.
No, I guess that's kind of a retrospective label.
But a retrospective label.
I can see the martini being poured.
Yep.
That's right.
It's a bit of a Bond vibe to it.
Absolutely. Bond is exactly right as well. That's exactly that person. And so in the 90s, you know, he sort of got rediscovered and had like another whole burst in his career. He was perfectly famous in the earlier time. He played at Vegas a lot. Opened, you know, Frank Sinatra shows a lot. But then as an older guy, sort of had this other burst. And these songs are used a lot in films today. This song has been used in films. One of his other songs, Mucha Muchacha, appears in Nacho Libre, which is one of my favorite films.
It's, you know, I see it as Bond, but it's also a little bit, it's got a kind of a campiness to it, which is,
they were purposely messing around. So they have this sort of orchestral swing as well as the Latin music, and so that's why Esquivel is sort of a big part of that. Oh yeah, the vocals, honestly, they're amazing. But because stereo recording was new, and same with four-track recording, he would do crazy things with it, like have two orchestras in two different rooms.
Wow.
Two separate studios, so that he could really play with this, the separation.
There must have been quite a bit of money behind it then for someone like him to have the resources of two different orchestras.
Well, I guess. I don't know how anyone sustained, you know, large orchestras, you know, people can barely sustain a band, you know, a band which is a guy making beats in his bedroom these days financially. But, you know, he did play live all the time. He did music for television shows and played Vegas, you know, so, you know, people went out for live music a lot more then.
Yep. So this track is called Surfboard.
And this is before they had synthesizers. So they were trying to get that spacey, futuristic sound with an orchestra.
Right. Ooh.
Now, this is the next track, right?
Yeah, this is Martin Denny.
So he's an iconic, this is from 1958, called Exotica, and you can hear him sort of trying to sound not like a real music that exists anywhere, like an imagined exotic place.
I'm getting strong visuals with this music. Sounds like I've taken drugs or something, but I didn't mean it like that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I'm being seduced by a guy in a velvet smoking jacket.
Just like, yeah, just olives and martinis and velvet couches.
And slightly sort of problematic depictions of the Orient in massive quote marks there.
Danny was a huge proponent of that. And he was based in Hawaii too, so his music was considered sort of legitimately exotic, but it was just all kind of imagined. He even recorded part of this album that it came from in Hawaii at the Kamehameha School's auditorium.
Oh, true.
If you have to look at Martin Denny's album covers. I mean, one review of this album said, this album earns a place in history for its achingly beautiful jacket design alone.
I want to know what the texters think. 5395.
Space age bachelor pad music.
Yeah, I want to know if this music...
mesmerized.
If this music really hits home for anyone's sort of self-branding.
I got to say, I'm loving it. It does give me huge, like, old movie vibes. It kind of makes me think of being in the Civic Theatre, and you know it's got that
You're
atmospheric...
Right. Actually, the Civic Theatre has that Exotica sort of vibe too, doesn't it?
It also it feels extremely like that age of borrowing and appropriating from other cultures to service an interest, maybe.
Well, yeah, especially because in the US, in that time, in the 50s and early 60s, there was a lot of men who had been soldiers and they'd been stationed all over the world.
Right.
And so they came back and with all this sort of interest and new information in the Pacific especially.
Mm.
And I don't know if people know the novelist James Michener. He's got a big fat book called Hawaii. And he wrote the liner notes for this album. And Denny was also a big part of tiki culture was popular then. They had tiki bowling alleys.
Someone has actually texted in saying that they bought an Ultra Lounge compilation CD purely on the merit of its fluffy leopard skin and bamboo tiki bar packaging.
Yep.
Yo.
Someone else has said, I don't think I feel it.
I feel.
Well, I think you need to get the toothpicks and little sausages out and create some hors d'oeuvres. Now, this lady, she was around at this time and capitalized on the Exotica theme. She was Peruvian, and she's got apparently one of the greatest voices of all time. She sings 5 octaves.
Whoa!
And apparently the average for a trained singer is 3 octaves, and just in my experience doing some singing teaching, I'd say 2 to 2.5 octaves is sort of for normal people.
Wow, that's amazing. So this is Emma Sumac.
Yeah. And so, you know, she was just sort of this gorgeous looking Inca woman, you know, and so, oh, there she goes.
Wow. Someone's asked, is this also just lounge music or is that a different genre?
Well, yeah, because I was going to do Exotica as a separate category, but a lot of these songs would count as Exotica.
Right.
So it is lounge music. It just got this new name in the 90s, and it doesn't include all lounge music. And and Exotica, I guess, would be a particular branch that really was more obsessed with the foreign, like these last two. But yeah, you know, anything you can play in your space age bachelor pad, anything that like James Bond or Austin Powers would play in order to, you know, get the chicks.
There's also all of the sort of like visual references that are coming into my head are things like the Thunderbirds and like.
Oh my god!
Yeah. I'm on a different street to you here with this.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like Bond fits it, but also like almost Pulp Fiction.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, yes, because this got used a lot. Like, she's got a song in The Big Lebowski.
Oh,
this song was used in a couple of films, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. So it's sort of like, you know, people rediscovered this music and have used it sort of to sort of capture this certain
vibe.
Retro vibe and feel. Someone said they're high on the weirdness scale. They have a sense of humor. And the rediscovery was done literally by, you know, what they call them, cultural trash pickers or vinyl archaeologists who found the original vinyls in the 90s and went, oh my God, this is great. And apparently, you know, you can still look for them and still find them. I have a few lurking around. it's had this sort of double life now. And they were all old enough, you know, like she died in the early 2000s and same with Esquivel. They're all sort of old enough to sort of see themselves sort of come back.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Nice to see your revival happen as well. If anybody is wondering who we were just listening to, it was Emma Sumac, Martin Denny and Esquivel in backwards order there. It generally seems to be very well loved on the text machine here, Kirsten. People are...
Oh, good. I'm glad. Because you know what this music is about? It's not about sort of dancing and getting sweaty. This is about relaxing.
A nice relaxing entry into the weekend. Thank you for bringing us Space Age Bachelor Pad music today.
You swinging cats and kittens out there.
What will we be talking about next week?
Oh, we're going to do a big one. I haven't thought yet how it's going to break it down. We haven't done reggae yet, so.
We haven't done reggae yet. Wow, we haven't done reggae yet.
And I know there's like 20 kinds, so I'd like to do reggae, but we'll probably end up focusing on one particular kind and then, you know.
Yeah.
We have had
a text in which I think is probably a very good point about it. It says exotica in brackets smacks a bit of some white supremacist systemic racism, you know, the age old fetishism and appropriation. There is definitely
absolutely
the dark
absolutely.
To every light in this situation, you know. I think that's a really good point to point out as well.
It absolutely is. And so it's more like a historical window into white people's imaginations of brown people.
Totally.
So it can tell you those things. And they just played with the instruments and used them out of context and, you know, mix them in not how they were intended to be played and stuff like that.
Exactly. So thanks for texting that in, Catherine. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And thank you, everybody else as well. I'm glad people have been enjoying it this morning. Kirsten, have a lovely weekend. We will talk to you again next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
See you then.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
It's certainly